This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deborah Wolf, Deb Wolf, because I'm the host of this show, and I've been hosting this show for a long time, actually, and I want to thank you all for sending me your questions and your comments and your feedback, and I'd love to receive more, so deb@petliferadio.com, just send me a voice clip, a question, a typed out anything, and I'll be able to answer it on air. And if I can't, I will get a guest to come in and answer your question. If it's very specific and difficult, I would love that because I want to learn along with you. But for now, I have been doing this show a very long time and interviewed a lot of experts. So I've compiled a lot of knowledge and I'm happy to share it with you and still keep it all fun and interesting. So today, in that vein, a little bit of education, a little bit of pet candy for the pet lovers. I'm going to go through, because I started last week to talk about the origins of cats. And I got partway through the description of where they all come from. And I covered the main 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the main five ancestors. If you look at your cat, it came from one of these, but I missed three. There's eight in total. So later in the show, I'm going to cover the three I didn't get to. Where does your cat come from? Does it come from Russia or Burma or the Isle of Man? Or maybe it'll come from one of the places we covered today. So we're going to talk about that. And also in the show, I had a request for a little bit of Taylor Swift. Yeah, no, don't worry. I'm not going to sing Taylor Swift, although I would love to, particularly if I were a man, love that song. But I am going to talk about her cat connection. After all, karma is a cat purring in my lap because it loves me. Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about Meredith, Olivia, and Benjamin. Taylor Swift's cats. We're going to talk about that later in the show. So for now, we're going to break for a commercial and come back and have a fantastic animal party on Pet Life Radio. Stay tuned. This is Deborah Wolf, host of Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. You know the expression, cats have nine lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. Now, it wouldn't be the Animal Party if I didn't do a few dog topics, too. So first of all, I want to talk about something I already knew and kind of forgot and remembered. And it's something really important because most of us, if you own a dog or a cat, you're going to own more than one in your life. And most of their life, they're going to be healthy and just able to do all kinds of things. But the last couple of years, if you're fortunate enough to have them get to elderly age, a 9 or 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old dog or 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old cat, even younger sometimes, may start to exhibit problems and issues that you might mistake for something else. Okay, so what am I talking about? I should know better. I've had so many dogs over the years and all of them get old and all of them get elderly and all of them need special consideration. So here I am with my blue heeler that I rescued when he was about 5 years old from a farm around the corner. And he'd had three owners already and wasn't raised well or given the best nutrition, was tied to a trailer during his puppy years. You know, sad, sad story, true rescue. Now he has the best life, has had the best life for many years now. He was born in 2011, so now it's 2024. And that leg he was tied to that never seemed to cause him problems all through his life is now kind of giving him some trouble on stairs. Okay, so I know that. I know it's been giving him trouble for a while. I've been avoiding letting him upstairs because he can't quite see very well anymore. And so he'll sort of throw himself down the stairs in the house. So I've been keeping him in the main floor and I've made some adjustments that you would do. But I started to worry that maybe he was going senile or had some kind of bladder problem or some issue because he started to have pee accidents in the house near the front door. And just, you know, I made the vet appointment to do the blood work. We actually had the blood work done yesterday. But just as a precaution, I thought, you know what? Maybe this is the mobility thing. Maybe he just doesn't want to use the back steps. So instead of going out the doggy door and peeing outside, he's actually waiting at the front door till he can't hold it anymore. How sad, right? Maybe this isn't senility or a bladder problem. Maybe this is just the bum leg. So I had my friend build a ramp very quickly. Took him maybe an hour at a scrap wood, maybe 2 hours. Anyway, new ramp and no more accidents ever since. So sometimes I think we forget these things. We forget that I also have a plastic ramp, a hard plastic ramp that's made for dogs that collapses that I would use for pregnant dogs to get in and out of a car. And I thought, you know what, maybe I'll try that when I took him to the vet yesterday, set that up for him. Whereas normally I just lift him into the car and lift him out of the car, even though he's 50 pounds, 55 pounds. But this time we used the ramp, and even though he can't quite see it and he's not sure where it is, it sure helped him. So I think sometimes we forget that when the dog starts having accidents, it could be something else completely. So a lot of these things I found with people, they get the thing too late. I've noticed this with humans too, but with pets in particular. Your dog starts to need something like a ramp, but you ignore it or you don't want to realize it. You don't want to admit it. You kind of push it aside. And by the time you introduce the ramp or the aid, whatever it is to help him, he's kind of set in his ways. He can't see it anymore. He can't hear anymore. He's got other problems. It's good to introduce these things quickly. As soon as you see your dog struggle with stairs, give him a ramp. As soon as you see him struggle to get in the car, give him a ramp. As soon as you see him fumbling around at night, start putting in night lights. Because even though dogs and cats have amazing vision in their prime, far better than us in nighttime, as they get older, it dwindles. And so a dog that used to be fine at night may get really confused and disoriented and bump into things. Same for the cats. So just keep that in mind as your animals age. Okay, so that was my little doggy bit. And even an old dog like me can learn new tricks about dogs and remember some of the stuff I forget, because it's been a long time since I had a really elderly dog, you know, but as I say, they all get there. So you got to be prepared for it. And this dog that I'm talking about is going to have a longer life just because of the ramps. He's going to be so much more comfortable. He's not going to have to hold it. He's not going to have accidents. He's not going to feel guilty. I'm not going to be upset with him. You know, all the things that go with that and constantly considering, well, is it time? Is it not time? No, it's not time. It's time to build a ramp. That's what it's time for. It's not time to put the dog down. It's time to build a ramp. Problem solved. Okay, everybody. So that's a good news story. And we'll talk about elderly animals in the future, too. One thing about cats when they get old is they're not very good at grooming themselves anymore. They lose that amazing yoga flexibility they have where they can clean any part of them and nibble on their nails and fix everything. And they start to get kind of messed up. They really need your help. So even though you may have never clipped your cat's claws, have a look at them. If your cat's 8, 9, 10, have a look. If they look all jagged and rough and weird, and they're not all even and pretty, like she just came from the nail salon. If they're not all even and pretty, she's not doing it, because she does a good job, your cat does. So some dogs do this too, blue healers in particular, but most dogs need your help all the time through their whole life. And cats, as they get older, you need to trim their nails. So it's a good idea when you have a young cat to get them to be happy when you touch their toes and happy when you kind of fiddle with their nails, and maybe even get them used to the clipper, even if you're not clipping anything at a young age. So when you go bring it out when they're 8, they're not all freaked out by it. And brush them everywhere, because when they get old, they can't do it themselves. So you're going to need to do it for them, dogs and cats. All right. That's enough about aging. We're going to go to a break and come back and I'm going to give you the goods. I'm going to tell you about the three ancestors of cats, and I'm going to give you a little teaser. I'm going to tell you about Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, the more I research her, the more I like her. And I think she's going to have to be a running topic on my show. This is not going to be the only show we talk about Tay-Tay. Oh, no. No, no. This is just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. Just the beginning, all you cat lovers. All right, stay tuned. We're coming back from a break in a minute. Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party. Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And if you want to see me training cats, just little tricks I've done lately, how to jump up on a fence, how to follow lead, how to sit, how to come, check out Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube. And you'll also see some recent videos I posted on testing puppy temperament. Had two puppies, the same litter, born June 25th, so they're just over 8 weeks. And I show you the difference just in a few seconds, picking them up and rolling them over and how you can tell how they're different. So they're adorable. They're dogs that were born here to abandoned parents and didn't know the female was pregnant till just before delivery. Eight puppies, six have homes, two still don't have homes. And those are the two I demonstrate with. Mama and Papa have homes. It's a good story, but months of care and feeding and until they're ready to go. And now's the end where all these people get these great dogs that have been well socialized and they're border collie blue heeler crosses and everybody's getting vaccinated and mama and papa are getting neutered and spayed. And it's all a goodwill story, but you want to see the two last puppies, both girls. One is so calm and chill and the other could be a working dog. The other could work animals. So you'll see the difference even at this young age, if you check out Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube. And there's lots on there. If you go through the index, you can find Come Sit, Stay, Heal, and all the basics, how to groom a cat, how to cut nails, everything's on there. All right, so chinchilla. Now, you may think a chinchilla is a little mouse-like animal, but actually, it's one of the ancient breeds of cats. And it was man-made by crossing cats of various colors with silver tabby Persians in England in the late 1800s. Now, this cat has a very Persian look, actually, a flat face, and it's fluffy, and what most cat owners would melt to look at. It's almost like the cats on the Cottonelle commercial, the little kittens. That's basically what it looks like, big eyes. Okay, the next one that I'm going to tell you about is the Siamese, and they were first brought to England from Thailand in the 1880s. The first Siamese are said to have been prized by the Thai royal family. Now, that's not the only royal connection. If you're talking cat talk to a cat expert, you don't say, oh, my female cat. You would call her a queen. Yes, you would. You could call her a Molly. That's another word for a female cat. But a proper, correct way to refer to a female cat is to call her a queen. So that's not the only connection we have between cats and royalty. All right. And the last one I want to talk about today is the Abyssinian. This is one of my favorite cats. I've met cats that are part Abyssinian. I'm not sure I've ever met a full pedigreed one. I've seen them at cat shows, but I don't think I've ever actually encountered one. They have kind of a high cheekbone look and a short hair. And the ones I've met are so good for tricks. So anyway, this is what it says about them. In the 1880s, such cats were taken from Ethiopia by servicemen returning to Britain at the end of the Abyssinian War. So that's where they came from. They're the cats I really like to work with because they seem to learn fast and they seem to be eager for tricks. But you can test any cat for that. If you're adopting a cat, a rescue cat, bring a toy with you when you go to the shelter and move it around and see if your cat will come to it. See if your cat will follow your finger. If your cat is good about all that, it's probably a trick cat. If it ignores it or just wants cuddles, it's probably not. So there's easy ways to test cats and dogs. All right, the moment you've all been waiting for before we finish this show, let's talk about Taylor Swift. So she has three cats. Yes, she does. And they are part of her persona, her public persona. She's had them on her featured holiday card in 2020. And she's talked about them in Time magazine, where she said in 2019, she told Time, "I have cats. I'm obsessed with them. I love my cats so much that when a role came up in a movie called Cats, I just thought, like, I got to do this." In fact, Swift even attended a cat school on set to prepare for her role. Oh my gosh, I would love to see the cat school. Do they rub their bums against things? Do they lick their hands and then wipe their faces? I guess so. All right. I'd like to see Taylor Swift doing all that. That would be hysterical and beautiful. Okay. So then she says they're very dignified. They're independent. They're very capable of dealing with their own life. Well, that is true, isn't it? Yes. But a cat is not a piece of furniture. And I know she knows this. She spoils her cats and treats them wonderfully. But I just want to, sometimes people think, oh, it's like a piece of art. I'll pick a pretty one. I'll put it in my house and I'll ignore it and, you know, feed it once in a while. Maybe get an automatic feeder and an automatic waterer and automatic litter changer. And I'll just kind of give it attention when I feel like it. That's not very nice. That's not the way to have a happy cat. A happy cat wants to be touched and entertained and played with. It wants to feel like it's hunting something before it eats. So have some active play before it actually gets fed. It wants to have interaction with you. It wants to have brushing and cuddling and all that sort of stuff. And it, like most cats, like to learn things like their name and some basic words. You might call it commands, but you might also call it communicative interaction. When you call your cat and he comes, it's like, oh, you're calling me? Okay, I know what you want. Then he comes over and you pet him and he's, yeah, I like that. He's communicating to you, so why shouldn't you communicate to him? Instead of the sound of the can opener being the thing that brings him over, make it a word. Start talking to your cat. Start thinking pictures to your cats. Okay, now that one is a little controversial, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. When us humans talk to each other, we're so verbal. Everything's blah, 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 blah to the animals, right? We've seen that Far Side cartoon where the dog's listening and the person says, blah, 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 ginger, blah, 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 walk. Blah, 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 car. That's kind of what's going on. They tune most of it out because it's just chatter. So what we need to do, first of all, is speak like we mean it. Say words they know. That's the first thing. And repeat them. So the same word for the same thing every time. So they get to learn it, just like you would with a child or a person learning a new language. Cats can learn things too. It's not just dogs. Dogs, 30 words, easy. 60, easy. 300 for the smartest poodle. Easy, right? And not, we're not even touching on Coco the monkey and how many words she's got. Nobody even knows how many words a cat can learn. But it's probably the same as dogs or better, because with most things, when I train dogs and cats learn faster. So, okay, so with your body language, we don't tend to use it much anymore. If you look at a border collie anywhere, in a dog park or at a field or playing fetch with its owner, it's doing semaphore the whole time. If you look at coyotes, same thing, signaling with their bodies, very set movements to signal. And when dogs greet each other, dog who wants to play puts his bum in the air, puts his front end down. That's play posture. Cats, when they want to get to know each other, they're, as they walk by each other, their tails gently flop over and touch each other. That's a high five. Cats and dogs have a lot of body language. We've kind of cut it out of our repertoire and we need to bring it back. And the easiest way to do that is to actually think, to try to picture like a movie in your head, the thing you want. So if you're standing at the dog park and your dog isn't coming and you're getting really fed up, instead of picturing the meeting you're late for and the rush that's going to ensue when you finally get the dog in the car, don't even think about that. Think about your dog coming and getting cuddled and getting pet and having a little tussle with him if that's what he likes, or getting a ball or getting a treat, whatever it is that he likes. Imagine that little movie. Same with a cat. You want your cat to come to you? Stand there and imagine your cat coming over to your ankles and wrapping around your ankles. Imagine that as you say the command, as you initiate. And because you're thinking about it and visualizing it, firstly, you're sending out a message to the universe with all your body language, whether you realize it or not. And your smells, your scent is not the annoyed scent, the irritated scent, the scent that comes with harsh words and bad memories. No, it's the scent of happiness. So your dog and cat can pick that up from so far away. They'll be coming. So that's the first thing. Second thing is they probably receive these pictures. So when you, because you're afraid of dogs maybe, and a big dog you don't know jumps on you and you think, don't bite me, and you picture him biting you, that's a bad plan. Because everything you're doing is signaling him to bite you. If instead you think, oh, please be calm and sit down. Please be calm and sit down, if that's what you want. And imagine the dog sitting down. That's probably what you're going to get. Because most animals are not trying to attack us. They're just trying to get attention. And they're doing it in the ways they've learned before. And then whatever ensues is reactive. They react to how you stand, how you talk, how you are. So if you're calm, generally, they're calm. All right, so I'm going to go through a little more. We talk Meredith Grey. Let's talk about Meredith Grey, Tay-Tay's cat. I'm going to save Olivia Benjamin for other shows. We're just going to talk about Meredith Grey. So Meredith Grey, which is Swift's first famous cat, is a Scottish fold named Meredith Grey. Yes, she's named after the one in Grey's Anatomy. Okay, so she got her in 2011, and what she says about her cat, she says, she is awesome. She's like the most adorable cat in the world. Okay, so the relationship isn't one-sided. She actually has a song. The relationship isn't one-sided. Swift has a loyal fan in Meredith. In 2012, when her then new single, I Knew You Were Trouble, was playing on the radio, Swift filmed Meredith meowing along to the song. So you can probably find that if you look hard enough. Meredith has made appearances on her Instagram. And if you look closely in Deadpool 2, you'll spot Meredith. Really? Yes, really. So, well, I'm going to tell you more about that next time. I can tell you more about Meredith. There's just so much on these cats. What about Paula Abdul? What does Paula Abdul have to do with Taylor Swift's cats? Well, I'm probably going to tell you next time because I think we're running out of time today. Her other cats are Benjamin Button. I love this. And Olivia. Oh, Olivia. All right. So we'll talk about them on a future show and more dog topics and more cat topics. And I'm so happy you're all here on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. We've had so much success. One of my favorite shows I've ever done is Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And I've been on the air on many shows for a couple of decades now. But this is one of the best shows ever. And I have total freedom to talk about whatever I want in the pet world and invite whatever guests I want. So if you have a suggestion for me, a topic, a question, a problem, I love pet problems, or a guest suggestion, please send them to deb@petliferadio.com, either a voice clip or a text, and I'll get your problem solved. I'll get your guest booked. I'll get your answers for you. So I just want to end with a Croatian proverb I heard. And it's very simple, and it kind of describes the difference between human intelligence and animal intelligence. And basically, this is a Croatian proverb. A donkey falls, slips, and falls on thin ice one time. A human will slip and fall on thin ice three times. So animals learn faster than us, is basically the idea here. You know, that's true with cats. When you're training a cat, don't bore the cat. Cats learn like standard poodles. They learn really, really fast. Ooh, if you want to see one of the cutest standard poodle photo shoots I've ever seen, and I put it on Deb Wolf Pet Expert on Facebook, check it out. Because I found this one on the internet and I just had to repost it. It's, oh my goodness, it's just standard poodle all over. Deb Wolf Pet Expert on Facebook. But anyway, standard poodles learn super fast and they get bored. Border collies learn super fast, but they don't get bored. They like to show off what they know. Dobermans, same thing, like to show off what they know. But standard poodles get bored like cats. They do the trick twice and then they look at you like, don't you got anything else? Didn't we already do this? So keep it moving when you're training a cat. Get the cat to do it once or twice well for a reward. And then you can go back to something they've already done that you haven't done for a while or that you did firstly. Go back to the first trick. But don't keep doing that trick over and over and over and over like a golden retriever likes to do or a lab or a spaniel. Over and over and over and over. No, cats don't want that. They want to keep it interesting. So keep it moving. Do new tricks. And if you're looking for something to see on how to train a cat, it's really all so simple. It's just timing. You just say what you want, get the cat to do it, and then give him the praise he likes, whether that's stroking or a little treat or a toy. And you just repeat that a couple times till he's doing it himself once or twice, and then move on. You can even move on to just cuddling. Like it doesn't, or if the cat wants to play wild game, you can play with a cat toy after that. The reward can be anything the cat likes. And the same for dogs. Dogs don't have to be given food every time they do something well. In fact, Pavlov proved years ago, it's better not to. I like to treat the treats like a sticker. You know, when your kid's doing okay in school, he doesn't get a sticker, but then all of a sudden he does really well for him, better than he usually does. Teacher gives him a sticker. Well, the sticker means something because he doesn't get it every day. And that's true. Every time a dog does something right, he should get good dog. But once in a while, when he's exceptional or when he's learning something new or every few times, that's when you give him the treat. And the same for cats. Don't give him a treat every time or they'll just ignore you. All right, everybody. That's it for today on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.